things are more emotional and bring families closer together than the sport of football. The athleticism, the brute force, the close wins, and the heartbreaking losses. No team has nurtured that family bond better than the Green Bay Packers, and no place resembles that true football spirit better than the frozen tundra. Many people say you don't become a Packer fan. You're born that way. You bleed green and gold. Now, here are your hosts, father and son, Mike and Sean Reagan, with the Bleeding Green and Gold Podcast.
Welcome to week 3 edition of Bleeding Green and Gold. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
The Pack pulled it out in the end. They defeated the Saints 18-17, and I'm really happy that Jordan Love was able to get his first win at Lambeau, an opening game. This is now 11 home opener wins in a row. And to make it taste better, the Vikings and the Bears are now 0-3. Mm-hmm. The last time a team started 0-3 and made the postseason was back in 2018 with the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm. I think that's when they got in with the losing record, right?
I'm not sure. That's your brain is a heck of a lot better than this old guy's.
I can't remember. There was a team that year that I think was 8-9 or something like that.
But didn't the Tampa Bay do that last year? They had a losing record and they got in, I think.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's...
So we scored 17 in the fourth quarter to get the win. Blanked up until that point. It was 17-0 going into the fourth. We were in the red zone, I think, when the fourth quarter started. So we had been in a drive to start the quarter, but, you know, it's pretty exciting. That's some Aaron Rodgers stuff going on out there.
Yeah.
With Jordan Love. Boy,
man, the first three quarters were painful to watch. I mean, the Saints defense is crazy good. They only allowed one touchdown in the first two games. But, you know, one thing I would like to see more now after this game? More penalties.
Yeah. There was a lot of penalties.
Oh, my gosh. It was crazy.
That's what happens, though, when you have one of the youngest teams. Aren't we the second youngest team?
Second or... Yeah, I think you're right. I'm trying to remember who. Is it Cleveland the first? I don't know.
I'm not sure. But I think we're the second youngest right now. We'd probably be the youngest if Bakhtiari left the team.
He really skews.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
Overall, though, I think, you know, I know it's not great that we had 0 points going into the fourth, but this whole year is kind of about the Jordan Love experience to see what we have. And he made some big plays when it mattered most. He, you know, the inaccuracy is still a thing that we saw in this game, especially on the deep throws. He'll miss a lot, it seems like, at the moment. But he has that kind of presence in those big moments. He has the decision making on what to do when. And he led a, you know, they were down by 17, led a fourth quarter comeback without his number one wide receiver, without his number one running back, without his number one left tackle, all-star players, without his left guard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's hard not to be happy even with a handful of penalties to go along with it.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it was great to pull it off. Thank God. Our favorite words in the world came back for us at the end of the game. Wide right!
Wide right. Did you see all the videos of Packer fans when that kick was coming up? They got like shirts and stuff and they were trying to blow the football to the right on their TV.
No, and then
they started cheering when it worked.
That's funny, man. That's great. I love it. Hey, as a sidebar, and as a former radio announcer, I hate to cut down any announcers, but oh my gosh, these guys sucked for our game. It was pathetic. It's like between that and all the penalties, it's just like, this is not fun. Those first three quarters were tough.
What was the announcer's names? Can you remember?
Oh, I can't. The color guy was the first time I ever seen him. So I think we're getting the post Rodgers picks for analysis.
I think I remember that he's a former Saints player.
Okay.
So that would explain the fact that we had tons of pass interference not being called and never once brought up by the announcers.
Yeah, I know.
Because there was a lot of moments where I was like, oh, okay, good. We'll get the penalty there. And then just nothing. And you'd see the receiver looking around. And I don't know. Like, I know they have a really good defense, but there was a lot of plays that it's like, how is that not a penalty?
I think they might have said, I think it was Lattimore. They might have said once they go, well, you know, he's pretty well known for that. It's like, and then call it. If you keep letting the guy get away with it, he'll keep doing it.
Yeah. There was multiple plays where they show the replay and they're talking about like, oh, you know, I don't know why they're still throwing at Taylor. He's having a heck of a game. You got to just stop throwing at him. And then they show the replay and he's hitting the receiver's arm before the ball gets there.
Yep. Yep. Holding it down. Yeah.
It's like, well, yeah, if they're not going to penalize you, you can be the best defensive back in the league. You just go tackle the guy.
Yeah. It's, I mean, enough on the announcers, but I mean, it just is too bad because even I watched the highlights and of course they have the same announcers. And it was just like, oh my gosh, it was just like, and the guy, the play-by-play guy, he's been doing it for years. I mean, your mother can't stand his voice because she thinks he should be a horse race announcer. And coming around the bend. And it's just like, he's got that old-fashioned announcer that he never turns off.
Yeah. I think in this game, because obviously it's the story of two games here where we had the shutout in the first three quarters for the Packers and then the big comeback in the fourth. I think a big pivot point for us was Derek Carr's injury.
I don't think
he's a star quarterback. I don't think he's in the top five, probably top 10 in the league. But that was a big difference, I think, just momentum-wise and emotion-wise for the team, especially for the Saints to come out and have Jameis Winston there. And he looked good at points, Jameis Winston, but he didn't look dangerous. He never felt like, oh, he could score at any moment, you know. And our pass rush was probably what won us the game in that fourth quarter, besides Jordan Love. Because every time we needed to get to the quarterback, it seemed like they were there, especially Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary had a great game.
I know. He looked so good. And it's only his third game back from injury. That he got a 3-sack game, first 3-sack game of his career. First time he had a hat trick.
Congrats, man. That's cool.
Two of the sacks ended the Saints' drive on third down. And technically, one of them knocked out their quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that was like the goal, but you're not going to be complaining as a Packers fan when you're down by 17.
Did you hear the Saints camp said they were really happy that it happened in Lambeau and not on artificial turf?
Oh, I bet.
It's the NFL going, putting their fingers in their ears and going, oh, no, it's fine. There's nothing going on here with that artificial turf. When the teams are coming out and saying, thankfully, it was on one of the best natural grass fields in the NFL. And we probably would have lost him for a long time if it wouldn't have been. So
there was a lot of slipping around in the game.
Yeah.
Jordan Love had a throw early where the snap was kind of bobbled. Or no, it was the flea flicker. So they did the flea flicker back to Love. Horrible throw that gets like on the ground. He picks it up and he goes to throw it quick. And he almost fully does the splits as he's throwing. I saw a bunch of screenshots of him in that stance where his legs were almost fully apart as he's throwing it. Because I was on Reddit during the game and there was like Viking fans, Bears fans, all putting that screenshot going, now this is peak quarterback performance right here.
If you watch the game, you heard the color commentator, which I can't remember who it was. You heard him say several times that he loved that call, the flea flicker, but the execution was very bad. In case you didn't hear him the several times, he loved the call. But the execution was very bad.
The thing is, I like the call too.
I didn't.
I know you hate that play.
Well, I don't mind it, but you needed 2 yards. Let's get some momentum. I know you're trying to surprise them. It would have worked. Was it the tight end that was wide open?
Yeah, no, I like the call. I think the main issue was, I mean, one, a bad throw to the quarterback, but then the field kind of causing that problem. And I think when you're against such a solid defense and you're a young team, you need to get them kind of off their mark early, get them wondering what you're going to do the rest of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Same reason, you know, when you have a speed guy at receiver and you start throwing it deep, you're not necessarily hoping to complete every deep ball. You're hoping to take the top off the defense because now they have to respect the fact you're willing to throw it deep. And that opens up the short throws, medium throws, and the run game. So I think when we do these trick plays, like the flea flicker, the rest of the game, they don't have their full defensive book open to them.
I get you. I hear you. I'm old school, man. You know.
By the way, one note on Rashawn Gary that I'd like to make is that we need to figure out his contract. Because if he's going to have the kind of year it looks like, we either need to figure it out now or be willing to pay him top dollar in the market.
How long do we hang on to Bakhtiari?
You say how long have we or how long?
How long should we?
I mean, technically, I don't think we should still have been hanging on to him. I like the guy. He seems like a good guy. He's really good when he's out there. But I don't think you can build a team around a left tackle that gets paid more money than almost any player in the league and plays half of the games.
If that. Yeah, I'm exactly what you said. I like the guy. I think he's a great team player. But man, we've been dealing with this for what, a couple of years now?
I think this is our third year. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm guessing though, we probably looked at trading him and no one wants to take on the cost with the knee injury.
Yeah, he hasn't.
So at this point, we're in the position of it's either one, we release him, one of our top guys, and it's just dead cap that we still have to pay out,
mm-hmm.
or we see what we can get out of him.
I get you. Yeah, it was to say, and you never know when injuries and stuff like that it's going to happen. It's like, but it was I feel like the fourth quarter was the golden quarter. It's like the other three quarters were just bad. Mm-hmm. We couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden the fourth quarter, we start getting some momentum and they weren't getting the penalties. They were moving. It was good. It was nice to see.
I felt pretty good about our defense. I never feel great with Joe Barry calling the defense, but this game, it felt like, you know, we were getting there. There was times where I'm like, we could really use a blitz here. And we sent extra guys and we got to the quarterback. And technically on defense, we only allowed 10 points because we did give up that punt return for a touchdown.
Oh, that hurt.
That did hurt. And that was at a really bad time.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
but only giving up 10 points to a team on defense is going to win you a lot of games.
Yeah. And they look tough. They really do look tough. I like them.
Chris Olave. That wide receiver I told you about last week, he looked good, didn't he, for the mm-hmm. Saints?
He did. He really did. I think that when we have, I think the defense is priding themselves on being super good this year to help out Jordan Love so he doesn't get into the too far behind or have feeling he has to do this very often where he has to be the hero. But yeah, I heard that after the second game in Atlanta that Barry shook up the defensive line a little bit. So, I don't know. It worked. They still had, you know, mm-hmm. they're always going to, they're pros, so there's always going to be some yardage, some plays that are going to work. But, man, once Carr went down, Winston came in, and they just couldn't do anything. It was mm-hmm. pretty much it.
And we kind of ramped up the quarterback pressure once Winston came in. We felt, I think, safer going all out to get to the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it was fast that we were in his lap. You know, it was like the ball would snap, and then 1 second later, the whole pocket was collapsing around him.
Yeah, and there's a couple of plays where he was able to get out of it, but they put a ton of pressure on him.
Mm-hmm. And guys were flying around. You know, if they didn't get to the quarterback, they were still on their feet running after him. So that's the main thing I like to see is just the energy and the wanting it more, especially mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter when you're down and you're a young team. Like after that third quarter, would you have really been surprised if they kind of gave up and didn't have that energy?
I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, but you know, you're human, but your mom had a good point. And I think you've talked about it before. It's like, why is it with LaFleur that they just seem to come out in the first quarter and are flat?
I've talked about that ever since LaFleur took over. Yeah. I think he's the tactical guy. I think he schemes, he comes up with the plays, he figures out how to unlock the defenses. I don't know if he can be the Dan Campbell in the locker room going, you know, rah, rah, let's get out there and kick some butt, bite him in the kneecap type thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think he gives a pregame speech that gets the whole locker room, you know, just on their feet, jumping around, wanting to go run through a wall.
Right. Right.
I don't feel that from him every time I've heard him talk, you know.
He's a pretty even keeled guy.
Exactly. And you need to be able to get a little off your keel to get people worked up.
Get off your keel. You know, but the solution is simple. Come up with something else. How about one of the other teams? Put your special teams coach, the guy's always frothing at the mouth. He wants to just go, 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 go. Let him do the speech before the game and get everybody fired up.
A lot of people are saying they think we're going to lose Rich Bisaccia after this year when he gets like a head coaching or assistant head coach job.
Well, he did pretty. He is assistant head coach now, I believe.
Is he? I haven't seen that really. I can't think of any examples of special team coaches transitioning into a head coach role. It seems like that's their career. They're a special teams guy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, who knows? I could be wrong.
The special teams coach for the Saints sure had a fun little dance step he did after they ran that touchdown.
Oh, he was excited. That was pure happiness. Kind of like we talked in the Atlanta game with their head coach, Arthur Smith, when that play went in, it looked like pure panic on his face.
Yeah, right.
It was pure happiness for this guy on the Saints, the special teams coach.
Let me ask you your opinion on the play calling for the first three quarters. What'd you think?
For the first three quarters?
Yeah.
I don't really have issues with the play calling. There was a lot of poor execution. We've talked about inaccuracy from Jordan Love, but we have guys dropping passes left and right. Mm-hmm. We had some really nice catches in the fourth quarter, but before that, I know we have probably the youngest wide receiver room in the league, but you can't be dropping some of these passes, especially when you're trying to help out your new quarterback. I think that was kind of the big one. We had two fourth downs that we failed to convert. One of them, he slipped as he was trying to throw it.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we didn't convert one last week, a fourth down. I can't remember week one. Are we at 0% on converting fourth down so far this year?
I don't remember week one.
I don't think we attempted one week one. We had a good third down conversion rate, and I don't think we attempted a fourth down conversion. Because we talked about our third down conversion rate going down last week, not looking as good. Same this week. Let me look here. I don't think we were at 50% even. Third down efficiency, 8 of 18. So what, like 43%, 44%? That's not great. You know, that's how you have a lot of drives end. We were 1 of 3 on fourth down. They were 4 of 14 on third downs. So we did good on defense, ending their drive, stopping them. But we got to do a lot better than that. They had 14 first downs to our 18. First downs from penalties, we had 3. Was that all fourth quarter? Because wasn't our first touchdown drive to start the fourth quarter like 2 big penalties on the Saints that just kind of moved us into the red zone?
I think
one of them was pass interference.
Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, that was... I'm not going to complain. However we end up in the red zone, I'll take it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's like... You never go to the end of the season and look back and go, well, that was an ugly win. That was an ugly win. That one doesn't really count.
Exactly. Romeo Dubs is looking good.
Oh, yeah. Our young wide receivers and our tight end is looking great.
Yeah. The other young guy out there, Jaden Reed, looked good. Dontavian, Wicks look good.
Yes.
They won't get as much time with Christian Watson probably coming back for Thursday, from what I've heard. He'll be back. So I think it might even open up Dubs more to not be that number one guy with the number one defensive back on him.
Mm-hmm.
But Luke Musgrave has looked good. He seems to be a safety net for Love as a young tight end because he's really fast. He seems to have pretty good hands. But I feel like we're three games in, and I have a handful of times I've seen him open for a deep ball. Love throws it, and he kind of gives up on the route. Or he slows down, or he kind of stumbles as he tries to locate the ball and slows down. But I've seen it a handful of times already from Musgrave that it's like, you got to be, you know, consistent with your speed if you want your quarterback to be able to pick you out.
That's right. And that's a handful of times in three full games. So that's not good.
Yeah. And from what we've seen, Jordan Love will underthrow the deep ball a good amount. So
he was really throwing it short a lot throughout the game.
Which is how you get it picked. If you're going to miss a guy on a deep ball, you have to throw it too far, not short, because then the defensive guy's in between the receiver and the ball.
But the one pick he did get, he threw it too far.
Oh, that's true. Now, what are you going to do?
Just throw it where you're supposed to.
There you go.
I don't know if you seen anything with the Viking game, but Kirk Cousins, did you hear his reason for the loss?
His reason for the loss? That he forgot you could spike the ball?
Yeah, he couldn't hear. He blamed the home fans and said he couldn't get the play. And so he went and just came up with his own play. I mean, he's talking in circles if you see any of the interview. It's like, says, so I picked the play. It still turned out to be the right play, the same one they were trying to get into me. But, and then it just kind of goes in a spiral. I'm like, dude, you call out your home fans because you didn't know how to play the clock?
I think the pressure is getting to him with all this narrative that he can't come in clutch in the big moments. I think, you know, they're human. That's going to be in the back of his head time they get to a clutch moment now. And I mean, you watched it, right? The end of the Viking game?
I did not.
Because I think it came on right after the Packer game ended. So I watched it. I think it was like the last two something minutes. Oh my God. It was bad.
Really?
It was horrible. Who were they playing again? What was it?
I got it here.
Chargers. Yep. So the Chargers are winning by 4. At their own 20-something yard line, they get stopped on third down. They're at like their 24-yard line, and they think, ah, heck, we'll go for it. You know, doesn't matter that there's 2 minutes left on the clock. If we don't get this, they'll almost be in the red zone with a chance to win. So they go for it. They don't get it. Vikings get the ball on like the 24 with 2 minutes left and their timeouts, or one timeout or something. And moved the ball a little, you know, a couple plays that didn't work out. But they get the ball at like the 5-yard line with over a minute left, or about a minute left. And they just stand around. Look, and it takes like 20 seconds for the announcer to go, you know, maybe they should think about spiking it and hurrying up here. And they ran the clock all the way down to that. They then had one play. They didn't get it, and game over.
Oh, man. Oh, so man.
He could have spiked the ball.
That's like a coaching move. That's a coaching move.
Well, a quarterback should also know no timeouts. We're at the goal line. I need to spike the ball so we have 3 attempts to get this in here.
Yeah, it would be. I suppose we'll never know the truth on that one, but oh, man.
I mean, you're right. It probably was the fans' fault.
I just thought, you know, it's just kind of like last week when Fields started calling out the coaches in Chicago and saying, that's the reason why I'm suffering. It's the coaching. It's not me. And then he had to hold a special press conference to say, well, that's not what I meant. You took it the wrong way. Yeah. How can you take it the wrong way?
Well, if you're Cousins, I'd be a little careful calling out Viking fans, because from what I've seen, we live in Minnesota. Viking fans are really the only people that have his back all the time. The media all around the NFL and other fans are like, oh, Kirk Cousins is not an elite quarterback. He chokes in every big moment. And Viking fans are always like, no, he's one of the best. We love our guy. You got to stick with those fans if you're Kirk Cousins. Right. You don't want to alienate the last people that have your back.
I saw the somebody, a Viking fan, commented on the story, and they said, and Kirk also asked his wife what he was supposed to wear to the game or at the game. Like, you're wearing your uniform, but he has to ask his wife, are you sure? Should I do that? I don't know if you watched any of that show on HBO, was it? Netflix? I don't know.
The quarterback show?
Yeah. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. I heard it was pretty good, but they don't allow password sharing anymore, so I can't watch it.
Oh, Netflix? Yeah. All right. What I'll do is I'll record it on my phone and then send you an email.
Cool. Well, let's just do a Zoom call and you point it at the screen.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that works.
I mean, I have done that with a football game before for a friend.
No way.
Or football, soccer. Yes.
Oh, sure. The real football.
The other one.
So Jordan Love was 22 of 44, 259 yards, just under 6 yards average, one TD, one interception. Quarterback rating wasn't great. He was 66.4. That's the worst average that he's had so far in his three games. Derek Carr went 13 of 18. Of course, he left the game early with a shoulder injury. He had 103 yards, 5.7 average, one TD, no interceptions, and a rating of 104.6. He's definitely he may be not elite, but he knows the game. I mean, you could see him scanning he's understanding it. And I 100% agree. If he would have stayed in the game, I do not see us coming back because they didn't score. They didn't even move the ball much.
Yeah. Overall, I think there was a lot of nice performances on the defense. Mm-hmm. Rudy Ford, I mean, you remember last season, he kind of came out of nowhere. He looked really good on special teams. Due to injuries, he had to play on defense, and he looked good. He had a really good game.
Oh, man, did he.
Against the Saints. He had 7 tackles with no missed tackles, 2 stops to stop their drives, and he gave up only 1 catch on 4 targets. He's really kind of turning into something, which is nice to see. That when we had a game without I know Jair didn't have the best game last week, but if he's going to be out with injury this game, having a safety step up and kind of be all over the field really helps out those other cornerbacks who are out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like Rasul Douglas. I don't think he's a number one cornerback. So when he has to play that role and Keyshawn Nixon's on the other side, you get a little bit nervous, especially when you have receivers like Chris Olave on the other team, because there was times like they were getting beat. You could tell. So
yeah,
having that safety over the top is huge.
I agree. I'm just looking at the defensive stats and
Quay Walker didn't have a good game. I was going to say Devondre Campbell had a good game, but he went out with an injury. What was it? Ankle injury. So we'll see how he's doing, but that was pretty early on in the game. But Quay Walker, who we've been so big on in the first two games, just didn't look great. He had some stops. He had 3 stops in the game, but did really bad in both run and pass coverage. So that's kind of frustrating.
No, yeah.
Carrington Valentine at cornerback didn't look great when he was out there, and then also ended up leaving with an injury.
Yeah, I think, what do we have, like a week 6 by? I know it's kind of early.
It is early, but it works out kind of weird. I was looking at this earlier. So we have a week 6 bye, but we play Thursday now. We're recording this Tuesday. We play Thursday against the Lions. After that, we have a Monday night game. So that's a 10-day gap between, almost like a mini bye.
Yep.
And then after that Monday night game, we have our actual bye, another 13 games off.
Oh, wow.
So we play one game in a 23-day period.
Oh,
it's almost a month of playing one game.
Yeah.
That should help. I know it's tough when you have so much of the season left after your bye that you won't have one, but at the moment, we need it.
Oh, man, do we ever. We do. Well, interesting.
Does it not feel like we're always one of the most injured teams every year?
I've looked that up. It's not easy to find, and it's not true.
Is it because we're homers?
Yeah.
And every 100%. Injury hurts more?
Last, it's been probably, well, I know it's since we've been doing podcasts, which is 9 freaking years, that I looked it up. And at that time, there were a couple other teams that were, it was just 9-day difference, that the amount of injuries. So it's, you know what you know. Packers. Yeah, you brought up the amount of injuries we had starters for that game. It's wonderful that we were able to pull it out.
That's true. So I just looked up an injury report for the last 15 years. Most injury prone NFL teams over the course of the last 15 years, going by number of injuries per week on average. Number 3 is the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, 15 years
of just players getting hurt.
Who's number 1?
So we average 14 injuries a week. That seems insane.
My gosh.
Over the last 15 years. I don't feel like we've been quite at that number lately. But so 14 in the net, 14.35 is the Colts. And then at 17.13 in the number 1 spot by a good margin is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I believe it.
Which is crazy how successful they've been despite that.
Right.
And then under us is Texans, Jets, Ravens, 49ers. Where's the Vikings?
Well, the 49ers last year. Oh, man.
You know, I feel like Viking fans complain that their season was ended by injuries most seasons. They are the 4th least injured team over the last 15 years.
Well, there you go, Viking fans. You got something to cheer for.
Bears are the 5th least injured team.
Hmm. Boy, things are imploding in Chicago. It's
So you know how the Dolphins beat the Broncos by 50 points?
Oh,
on
my
Sunday,
gosh.
70 to 20.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that when we went through the
Bears still have a worse point differential than the Broncos. Only team with a worse one than the Broncos.
Oh, man. I know, it's just funny. These teams get into funk, and it takes them decades to turn it around.
Why is that?
I don't know.
We don't have, like, baseball, where you have teams with all the money and then poor teams. It's not like, or like soccer. All the teams have the same cap, salary cap. There's some wiggle room on what owners are willing to do to pay fines. But other than that, it's pretty even. So how are the Jets this many decades into trying to find a quarterback?
Oh, you remember last week I told you when Aaron got hurt, the Jets fans were saying that's the most Jet thing never happened. You've been listening for 6 months to this guy, and then now he's here.
Well, right after he went down, the announcer brought up like 4 times that the Jets have brought in a star quarterback, and they went out in the first game for the season.
Do you hear that? Oh, Joe God. Namath basically threw everybody in the Jets organization under the bus, from the ownership all the way down to the players. And it's like, okay, he is Joe Namath, but he is, you know, 80 something years old, I think, 80 years old.
Is he now?
Hmm?
I just was surprised he's that old.
Yeah. Yeah. What was I going to tell you?
Throwing them all under the bus.
Oh, yeah, that's but he said that he's not a fan of Zach Wilson at all. He said they don't even have a quarterback, and the top management doesn't know how to get players in because we need to get better players in here. And he just went on and on and on. It's like, but, you know, he has times where he's sober. And times when he's not. So you never know for sure. You remember that Susie Colbert where she's interviewing him during a game, and he's obviously feeling good. And he looks over, he goes, "I want to kiss you."
I don't remember that.
Oh, man. It was not a good moment for Joe. So that's Joe.
When was this?
It was a couple of years ago, I think, during like a Monday night football game or something. He's being celebrated.
I wasn't sure if you meant during a game back when he was playing.
No.
Okay. Oh, what else do you have about this game? I mean, how do you feel after it?
Well, I'm just glad we pulled out the win. It's great to, you know, last second, wide right, to get the, you know, again, it's a win. It doesn't matter how. But a good defensive team. We're going to have moments like this that we struggle with a young team, but the fact we pull it out in the end is awesome. A win's a win. How about you?
I feel good about it. Pulling off the comeback with young guys and so many of our stars injured, I think is going to be huge for the mentality of this team. I think when you're so young, you need to believe that you can go out there and win. I think they're going to feel that now. They've had that experience together as a group. I feel pretty good about where Jordan Love's at in our offense, especially as we get guys back. And I'm starting to feel even better about our defense.
Yeah, me too.
I know Joe Barry's a liability. We all know it. But they could not rush the ball this game. They had their Jamal Williams was hurt for the game, who was already their backup running back. So they didn't have like any big guys in at running back, but they could not run the ball. They ended up with, let's see here, between Condre Miller, Tony Jones Jr., and Taysom Hill, 21 rushes for 77 yards. So not great.
No.
Rashid Shaheed had a rush for 0 yards. But then once Derek Carr went out and they had a lead, you felt like, okay, here it is. They're going to try to run the ball salted away. We were not giving them anything in the run game. And it feels like our defensive line is really kind of starting to impose itself.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. To see. Yeah. And, you know, Kenny Clark, it just brings it every week.
Mm-hmm. Rashawn Gary. They're fun to watch.
They are. They really are. Mm-hmm. So
Devontae Wyatt's been looking pretty good in the rush.
Well, we got a short week, as Sean said, because Thursday night game, which is week one Thursday night game, because we have two of them with the Lions. Our next one will be on Thanksgiving. But there was no practice on Monday. I don't know if you looked at injury reports, but, you know, it's Tuesday, mm-hmm. so it's not going to be much. But he did mention that had they practiced, that Jones, Rashawn Gary would have been limited, while Bakhtiari, Alexander, Watson, Zach Tom, Devondre Campbell, Zane Anderson, Jenkins, and Valentine would have all been did not practice. I think there's going to be a bunch of guys that's going to be like Thursday morning. They're going to go, what do you think? You're going to get go?
Yeah. I mean, they did it. They have a new thing. Are you on the Packers injury report? Packers.com?
No, I am not.
So they changed it this year.
I know. Yeah, I saw that.
Where they do daily injury report to show you their progression from did not play to limited practice, to practice, like that kind of thing. So as of today, Tuesday, Jair, limited practice. Bakhtiari not practicing, but that's no surprise. Devondre Campbell not practicing. Rashawn Gary, limited practice. Aaron Jones, limited practice. And Christian Watson, limited practice. There's some others that I didn't touch on, but those are big ones because I've seen rumors that it seems like the way the players are talking and LaFleur is talking, they're all going to be back for Thursday against the Lions.
Oh, well, I'll believe it when I see it.
I don't think we'll have Elton Jenkins back before the bye, I would assume.
Did you happen to catch it on our game-winning field goal, that Saints defensive end, Brian Breesy? Did you catch what he did?
The defensive end? No.
He grabbed the towel from our long snapper that he had hanging on, and he threw it up in the air to try and block the ball. And apparently it was pretty close.
Yeah.
And of course that, if he would have impeded it in any way, they would have had to come up with some obscure rule. And
it's like a player like throwing their helmet at the ball.
Right. Right.
Or a shoe, grabbing a shoe and trying to huck it. I mean, playing tennis, there was a few desperate moments where I threw the tennis racket to try to get to the ball. It's a little different.
Did it ever work?
Once. I remember. Oh. Yeah, I remember. Ooh. Everyone was very impressed. And my coach said, I never want to see you do that in a game again.
You any more thoughts on the game, or are you ready to move on to the game ball?
I guess my last thought would just be, we've talked about LaFleur not necessarily being that emotional rah-rah guy, but the fact that we scored in the fourth quarter and he went for two. So we got the field goal, we got the touchdown, and he went for two, saying, I want us to get another stop, get the ball back, and not have a chance to tie, but to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Shows that he has quite a bit of confidence in his players.
Oh, I was 100% okay with that call. That was legit. I mean, you're still in the game.
Statistically, that's one thing the announcers got right. That is statistically the right call. Because if you miss it, the two-point conversion, you're down by eight, and you get another chance if you score at a two-point conversion to tie it. So two chances at it. Or you're down by six now and have a chance to win on an extra point. So,
mm-hmm. Well, let me give a little insight info when it comes to the NFL announcers. And this goes down. I mean, even some high schools have, you know, like down south where the high school games are so crazy. But an NFL announcer has these neat little, think of them as earbuds, and they get told info real quick, and it helps them. It's like, if you ever notice, like on that return for a touchdown, that kick, the special teams that they got us right away, 76-yard return. It's like, that's because somebody is in his ear and telling him that. They'll also feed them on angles on what's going to be coming up next. So if you suck as an NFL announcer, you suck because you're getting so much help.
Well, maybe if they hired announcers based on skill level rather than their name.
Yeah, they
have a little
that.
better quality.
No, they are stuck in that mode, man. Mm-hmm. Former player, you got a job.
Well, if you have, let's say you have Tony Romo announcing and it brings in 2% more viewers, they're going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All right.
Are you ready? Oh,
let's do it.
You hear that?
It's time for Wide Right Game Ball.
Congratulations, safety. Rudy, put me in the team coach.
You're doing it.
Rudy Ford. He got one last year, too, if you remember.
Rudy.
7 tackles without a miss, 2 stops, gave up only 1 catch on 4 targets. Congrats, Rudy Ford.
I think that you could have gone with Gary. You could have gone with Kenny Clark. You could have gone with Love for the one quarter. He played well. But yeah, I'm cool with it. Good job, Rudy.
He had some really nice breakups too. Like open receivers getting hit and he closed it and broke up the pass. So I think he deserves it.
All right. Well, you get it, man. Enjoy.
All righty. Ready for the pick'em?
Yeah. Let's do the our picks if you want. And then we looked for some games that maybe stuck out for us.
Sounds good. I'll go through our picks, and then you have ones ready that you want to touch on. So week 3 games, we went into Mike up by 1 somehow. And Thursday night, Giants at Niners, we both took the Niners correctly. Falcons at Lions, then on Sunday, we both took the Lions and were correct. Chargers at Vikings, I took the Chargers. Well, you took the Vikings, and I got one back on you.
Oh, boy.
And then Saints at Packers, I thought it would be good luck to pick the Saints, and I was correct. You are welcome, everyone. I took that bullet for us. So then you got that one right, back up by 1. Bears at Chiefs, we both knew the Bears would stink it up, and we were not wrong. Steelers at Raiders, I took the Raiders, you took the Steelers, and you were correct. What was the end result in that game? 23-18 Steelers. Number 17, Davante Adams for the Raiders wants out. Did you see that? You're on mute.
Thank you. Your mom and I were talking about that. That's kind of a common thing in our podcast. You're on mute. You're on mute.
Well, I see you take a drink on mute and then you put it down. And sometimes I'm like, should I give him some kind of signal or something? No, he'll turn it off. No.
You need to like draw an 8x11 sheet of paper, put a microphone with a line through it.
Yeah. And like so the old Roadrunner cartoon. Yeah. He just holds up the sign.
No, what the heck were we talking? Oh, the
Davante Adams wants out.
Yeah,
of Vegas.
I felt that he's like end of last year, he was starting to squawk a lot. This year, he's been continual.
It's almost like he was spoiled with Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball.
You think?
Yeah. And he only went to the Raiders, he said, because he wanted to play with his college friend Derek Carr. And then they traded Derek Carr.
And he wanted to be closer to family, too, I think.
But he's rich. Pay for family to come to him. There's a lot of houses around Green Bay. Beautiful area. Set him up in Door County. They can commute to the games.
I'm just saying, if he wants to come home, we'll be paying you soon.
If he wants to come home, I'm not complaining.
Okay. All right. So
two more. Eagles at Bucks. We both took the Eagles. And then second Monday night game, Rams at Bengals. You took Rams. I took Bengals. Bengals win it 19-16, which means I got two correct on you. You got two correct on me. We will go into next week. Mike plus one still. All right, clean us up. What you got?
All right. Well, you brought up the 49ers-Giants game. Boy, the Giants, they could be going down the tubes here pretty quick. They lost 30-12.
49ers look really good, though.
What's that?
49ers look really good.
Oh, man, do they ever. I was surprised to see the Colts over the Ravens. I expected them to lose. They're kind of a dysfunctional family right now. Browns back up to 2-1 over the Titans. Texans over the Jaguars. You think they're just kind of like a facsimile of what they were, because they lost 37-17 to a not so good Texas team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then one Sean brought up, Dolphins 70, Broncos 20. And who's the head coach now of the Broncos? He's a new guy, right?
Well, he has a good name. He hasn't been coaching the best. Yeah. Sean Payton. Which is funny because he talked so much dirt on Nathaniel Hackett, the former Packers coach, not head coach, but quarterback's coach and offensive coordinator, for how he performed as the head coach for the Broncos last year, saying it was the worst coaching job he had ever seen, all this stuff. Well, statistically, he's doing worse in almost every category.
Yep. Yeah, he's just not good. Bills over the Commanders, 37-3. That was a big one. The biggest one, we mentioned the Bears and Chiefs. Bears lost 41-10, but how about the Cowboys losing to the Cardinals, 28-16? The Cardinals are horrible. They want to lose.
They've looked pretty decent without Kyler Murray in.
Really?
What's Dobbs, their backup quarterback? I don't know his first name.
I don't know.
He has not looked bad. Joshua Dobbs. He was 17 of 21 in this game for 189 yards and a touchdown. 17 of 21. What is that, like 90%?
That's 80, great.
88. They look pretty good the last couple games. And now they got a win.
Okay. So you want to move on to the next games coming up? We got picks.
We got picks. A few less games to pick this week, especially because we have the Lions and Pack playing each other. So we have six games to pick. Mike is up plus one. We're going to start Thursday night football in Lambeau Field. The Lions, the Campbell Kitties, are coming to Lambeau to take on the Green Bay Pack.
Have you watched any of the Lions this year? Any of the game?
I don't think so. I maybe watched some of the week one, but I don't think I did. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because they beat the Chiefs, right?
Yeah, they did.
I saw that. I saw that. Or at least half of it.
That said, I will go with the pack at home. Hopefully we get some healthy folks back or healthier.
I want to pick the Packers, but I feel like not picking them worked. And at this point, I'm just going to jinx it. So I think I'm going to pick against them until they lose. Not that I'm superstitious, but I am a little stitious.
Well, you come from your mother. You get it, honestly.
Come from your mother.
This is okay. Well, yeah, I guess that's pretty basic. Technically the truth. But this is the woman years ago when the Packers were way behind. I think it was Brett Favre early on. And we were coming back. We hadn't done anything. And all of a sudden we start coming back. And she got so superstitious because she got up to go to another room and they scored. And something else happened like that. So she just like left the room and went and laid on the bed and waited for the game to go over. I'm like, honey, it's a DVR. You know, they've already finished the game. We can, it's okay. And she's like, nope, not going to do it.
Hey, whatever works. Whatever works.
And they won. So that makes it even worse.
So yeah, she didn't watch another game in the living room for 4 years. It was crazy. Falcons at Jaguars. We have this as a primetime game because it's the London game, Sunday morning.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Falcons and Jaguars. Gosh, I don't know. Both teams are so spotty.
I was
going to
say, can I pick neither? How many points will you give me if I pick a tie and it happens?
One.
Well, that sucks.
Jaguars. I'll go with the Jaguars.
All right, I'll go
I feel
Falcons.
Like they've got to turn it around.
I got Falcons.
Okay.
All right. Vikings at Panthers.
I hate to do it, but
I'm going Vikings. The Panthers, I think they get their first win.
What?
I said, I'm going with Vikings. I think they'll get their first win here.
I agree with you. I do too. That's where I was leaning.
All right.
I still give too much credit to the home team. I don't think it's as big as it used to be. But...
who's that big name quarterback that is supposed to go number one in the draft next year?
Is he from USC?
I think so. I can't remember his name. Let me look.
But he said he might not. If he feels like he's going to get drafted by somebody he doesn't want, he might just stay another year.
If he thinks the Bears are going to get the number one pick, he's like, there's no way in hell.
No way in hell.
Caleb Williams. All right. So next for Pick'em, we have the Caleb Williams Bowl between the Broncos and the Bears.
I'm going to go with the Broncos.
All right. I don't think anyone wins in this, including the fans. I guess I'll go Broncos. The way Justin Fields is playing, I can't see them winning a game.
He just looks discombobulated.
Yeah.
He runs when he shouldn't. He doesn't run when he should. He's missing people.
He's not throwing to wide open people. Do you see Zach Wilson sack himself? I know this is unrelated, but Pocket was collapsing. He ran around a couple times and then he just did a spin and fell down and laid there. And the defenders kind of looked at each other like, well, one of us should touch him to make sure he's down.
That was another thing that Namath said. Are you kidding me? He just sat down.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I do think the Broncos will win it. Russell Wilson has looked better this year. Their offense didn't look horrible in that game against the Dolphins. He made some good plays. He's not the Russell Wilson of old that we saw, on the Badgers and then with the Seahawks for so long.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Bears will capitalize on a horrible, horrible defense with Denver. So I think they'll win it.
Okay.
And then we have Chiefs at Jets. Chiefs at Jets Sunday night. Football. This should be kind of an easy
one. That's an easy one. Go with the Chiefs.
All right. That would have been a pretty fun game, though, if Rodgers was healthy.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking about, you were talking about Russell Wilson. It's like, you know, how much is the influence of Pete Carroll hurting Russell? And how much would have, we'll never know the answer, but like Aaron leaving LaFleur, leaving the Packers, how much would he be able to do? Of course, he did get his old coordinator back, but
I mean, that's kind of how you make your name as a head coach. That's why Belichick said he didn't retire after Brady left, because he wanted to show he could still succeed. Pete Carroll, a lot of people said, like, yeah, he's a good coach, but he has Russell Wilson, so it's easy to be good. Well, Russell Wilson has not looked great since leaving Pete Carroll, and Carroll has turned Geno Smith into a top quarterback.
Oh, he's a stud.
So I'm pretty sure that helps Carroll's legacy moving forward.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. And let's wrap up the picks. What is that?
Have you seen any games that interest you coming up?
We have one more pick to wrap up. Seahawks at Giants. Monday Night Football.
Say that again,
please. Speaking of Carroll, Pete Carroll. Seahawks at Giants.
Oh, I got to go with Seahawks. Giants. Right. You know.
So we both went with the Seahawks. We only have two games we differ. I took the Lions over the Pack, and then I took the Falcons. You took the Jaguars. Hey, if the Packers win, I'm not picking them again next week. I can guarantee you that.
You know what? Keep track of the games you're doing this with.
Uh-huh.
Because if it keeps working, you don't get penalized.
Well, I do have a pretty sophisticated tracking system for the picks. I don't know if you know that. Same system I've been using for a couple of years now, where I put our picks on this big sticky note. And then the next week, I take the sticky note off and I put it in my pile of previous sticky notes. And then I have a whole season's worth of sticky notes by the end of the year.
Wow.
Kind like I said, sticky. Pretty sophisticated.
I knew you didn't have much of anything. man. Hey, did I mention, I think I did, that the Cowboys, they lost to Arizona. They play the Patriots coming up in Texas. Can't say Dallas because they don't play in Dallas, but this could be an interesting game, because you got the Cowboys, they're going to be feisty, angry, you know, come out, but Patriots need to turn this thing around. They need to pick up the pace.
And going into that game against the Cardinals, people were talking about, it's hard to tell who's the best team in the league right now, Cowboys or Niners, but it's probably the Cowboys. They've just been so dominant, you know. And I kept thinking earlier last week, like, have they not gotten used to Mike McCarthy? Because, you're going to look dominant in a lot of games, and then you're going to play a horrible team, and you're going to do way worse than them. Like, you're going to wonder, where did these players even come from? So that's the Mike McCarthy experience we've all come to know and love.
Yeah.
And it somehow, transitioned into Dallas. So have fun, Jerry.
So the Dolphins score 70 points and they got to play the Bills in New York. I read an article today talking about, and people in the media need to always be producing something. So they're just going to do stretches and maybe whatever. But they were talking about how the Dolphins are now kind of I'm trying to think of the term, but the like doing things that no other NFL teams are doing on offense.
And the Trailblazers?
Yeah. And like they have one of the fastest teams in the NFL. And they're the only team that has motion plays, whether it's pass or run. It's like 52% or more. And that's way over the other teams in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And so you know what's going to happen next year if they do well. Everybody else is going to be doing the same.
Oh, yeah. Copycat league.
Oh, yeah.
Our mascot's getting a little impatient with me.
Is she's not, or he's not talking yet?
He's not talking yet. It's because he's trying to sniff at the pork roast in the crock pot.
Oh.
And now his nose is in the trash. Hey. He gets bored and he gets naughty. Speaking of which, I spent over an hour, probably about an hour and 20 minutes before we started this podcast, looking for my car keys. Because this dang cat will not stop knocking stuff off the counter or the table and then batting it around and hiding it under like couches and stuff. I spent this morning looking for my earbuds because she knocked the case over. They spilled out, and then that was a nice little toy for her to. Didn't even find it. I gave up and then went to put my shoe on. There was an earbud in my shoe. So these animals, man. It's a zoo in here.
Yeah. We got Jazzers. She likes to bury her her treats and toys sometimes, like in my blanket that I have by the couch. Mm-hmm. And so you go to stand up even. You step down on this thing and it's like, ow. It's like, but
you know, that's something you haven't mentioned on the pod. We don't just have a new mascot with Rio, the husky. We have another mascot in Jazz. There's Rio.
Hey, Rio. Yeah, it's we believe it is a Patterdale Terrier, and I'm proud of myself for remembering.
Nice.
I checked out with two bags of dog food, and the cashier goes, "Hey, what kind of dog do you have?" I go, I think it's a terrier.
I like it.
All right, bro.
Ooh, I think our mascot's saying it's the end of the podcast.
Yeah, he's pushing you.
He is. All right. Well, it was a fun one. Fourth quarter comebacks will continue in Lambeau, even post Aaron Rodgers. That's good to know. And Packers are 2-1, leading. Excuse me, I'm trying to wrap up the podcast. Leading the NFC North ahead of the 2-1 Detroit Lions because of point differential.
Yeah, so, it's a big game, man.
It's a big game. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be down to these two teams in the North because the other two are going to Mexico. They're going so far south. Yeah, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not a huge fan of like Thursday night games. I like games on Sunday.
I do too. Also, because I wake up so early now, it's kind of a bummer to have a Thursday night game.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and get a nap in.
Yeah, but then I'll miss the game.
No, before the game.
Oh, before the game. It's a good idea.
You could do it. All right, until next week, go!
Pack!
Go!
You jumped in too early then.
Thank you for listening to the Bleeding Green and Gold podcast with your hosts, Sean and Mike Reagan. Make sure to subscribe and check out the website at bleedinggreenandgold.com. Join the Facebook group. All questions and comments are welcome. Send them to feedback@bleedinggreenandgold.com. And until next time, go Pack, go!